First Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, chapter 1, verse 10. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereof. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, and so on. And a little thought that's on my mind and burning in my soul is, put this church at Corinth. When I go back to the 18th chapter of Acts, and I see consecration in action. In a young couple that got the notice that they had to leave Rome. And they had to pack up their belongings because they were Jews and they had to leave Rome. Where were they going to go? They had a little business. Not like they had a big bank account. But they sailed down the Mediterranean and they landed at Corinth. And there they set up a little business. And they're taking in from the different customers maybe more work than they can handle. And along comes a little man. Sure, he was consecrated to God, as we were saying yesterday. He spent the rest of his life trying to figure out why God arrested him. And God did arrest him. And he spent the rest of his life trying to figure out, well, why did God arrest me? That ever get into your soul? Until he came along, and thank God he was able to take the needle and sew through. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher. It's an only preacher on the platform. You can't go to the bad. But it's really telling me about don't know him here. I don't think he's ever been here. Your brother over there in Newfoundland, you know his name. Yeah. I want you to listen. Mark Dirksen. Mark Dirksen. Did he ever preach? And I tell you, that here man, he still holds there. He's worked from daylight till dark and then get up on the platform and preach. And God is his in Newfoundland. So I think of this young couple. Now what's coming at my soul and eating at my soul is for some of you young people, and you make this something big for God. I look at this hall today, and I think of this little corner here in Cammondale, where some faithful men come in here and preach the gospel a number of years ago. And we have been fed and edified since coming to this conference. It's done my soul good at 76 years of age. For 77 next month. And I've been fed and cheered and edified at this conference. Brethren, if there hadn't been any consecrated Christians in Clemens Vale, we wouldn't be here today. I'd take off my hat to men like Lionel Crest and right there now in the harness. And give brethren the stronghold of glory. They were consecrated. There was men that laid the foundation. And others came along and they built their own. And I want to tell you, if you want to exercise every ounce of strength you have in a consecrated life, put it into God's assembly. That's where it is. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I have laid the foundation. And it'll pay off. So, this consecration is not very close. Consecrated Christian will be at the prayer meeting. The other dear man, that man sees listening on prayer meeting night and know there's something wrong. He either has obligations at his job, or he has some sickness that incapacitates him to need it. We miss him. If you want to go all out for God, you get the prayer meeting in the assembly where you belong. And if you're not in the assembly, you can't live a consecrated life unless you live it according to the scriptures that you hear it. A consecrated Christian is a Christian who is saved, baptized, headed to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes the victory of somebody else. Listen, I know there are Christians out in Christendom. And they would put many of us to shame. The godly lives they live. I used to see a dear lady come in the back seat of the chapel there. She was the organist or the secretary in a big church down the street. Dear child of God. She put her in the back seat. That's what the scripture would put her. She'd never been baptized. And she had never gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, your soul. She was happy. She wasn't living up. She was living up maybe to the life she had. But consecration with an open Bible, dear child of God, I can see nothing else in the scripture but a scripturally gathered testimony of the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what Paul planted in Corinth. Now that young couple, went there and they went to Ephesus and they see the following apostle around. And you know what struck my soul is coming here. We followed this work from day one, Bridget. We remember when we come down here to conference and dear old Mr. McElwain, God bless his memory, and his dear wife, when just a day or two before the conference, they got word that they couldn't have it up in the hall. And a number of the men went to work. I haven't got all the details. And they dug a hole under this, under the hall. The old hall. This is an extension to it. And I can remember the pies up on the clay there around on the table set up. And that was the conference. You thought about work. Pleasant tears. Consecrated men. But those men have gone to glory. Some of them. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today and take up the torch, as it were, for God in Seventh Day Assembly? It fills me when I see dear brethren coming along, passing the emblem that we're just young in the faith. I'm personally used to come here. This is what consecration is, where every Christian can extend their energy in God's assembly. Brethren, there's a pillar and ground of the truth. You go outside of God's assembly, and you'll get a watered-down gospel. Wherever you get the table that is open to everybody to continue, you'll get a watered-down gospel. When you get a watered-down gospel, you will get a lot of professors. I know we get them in the assembly. So an assembly is a pillar and ground of truth. I want to appeal to every young Christian here. There's nothing that you can put forward your ambitions in. An assembly gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else in the scripture. And so you don't have to go to Africa. Thank God for men who went to Venezuela. Thank God for men who went to Africa. Thank God for men whom God has called to other parts. But don't think you have to leave the little circle where God has changed you to consecrate your life to God. My mind goes down to these dear brethren in Hong Kong. And I don't know whether you ever heard tell them or not. Some of you. Most have. Dear Fred Hill. Dear Fred Hill. An accountant in an oil business there in Boston. Boston. And he got an offer to move to New York. A great raise of salary. Turned it down. Why did you turn it down? Because you had to leave a little assembly. Well, some of us know from experience the drawing power here at Fred Hill. All over the continent, he phones up and he knows he's a preacher and they're going to help God's people here at Fred Hill. We'll speak to get them there to help to build up the little assembly. He could have been maybe much richer. But you know, here he is. Consecrated to God in the middle of death. Brother or sister, you in God's assembly? Are you just drifting? Do you feel you're a working part of it? You see, the way I was brought up was if you're not at the assembly meeting, there's something missing. You must feel that you're a part of it, a working part of it. And brother or sister, if you're seated in on prayer meeting time, unless it's beyond your control, circumstances beyond your control, then you're not a consecrated Christian in the sense of being true to the assembly. Well, I'm always there, Lord, today morning. I want to tell you, I've been preaching the gospel for 45 years. I'm not saying that to most, but I'm telling you that because I've been so encouraged by dear sisters, the dear consecrated sisters, that they would be at every gospel meeting. We were having meetings, Brother Peter and I, the other summer, and the backbone of those meetings were dear believers who were here at Christian. Some of them aren't able to get up to meetings now. And we had a roll of troubled souls. And some of them got saved. There's some of them here this afternoon. There was this morning. There were some of the Christians turned up once a week. Some of the Christians turned up twice a week. But God came in and he saved a number of souls that was only about 10 miles from the assembly. I'm going to tell you those dear sisters in the back hole of those meetings, as they prayed and stayed with us, things of God, all of the revelations of the judgment of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a little hall over in Fogo Island, Switzerland. I happen to be in on the work over there. I get a little inside track that a lot of others don't get. So there's a special offering taken up in Charlottetown for the Fogo work. And I will say the Christians gave liberally. And there's a nice donation sent over there to the little hall in Fogo Island. I was over with the opening, and of course I knew a Christian there. I knew the man that had the responsibility of looking after the finances. He showed me the book. There was one Christian from Charlottetown that wasn't able to get out that morning. He showed me the book. $1,000 had gone. Nobody ever knew it. I don't think I've told anybody. I never told my wife. A dear sister who was consecrated to the Lord. He did it. As unto the Lord. Dear child of God, this is what I'm talking about. consecration can be worked up. I'm a firm believer in consecration, but it can be worked up in God's assembly, right where God has made you. You don't have to fill your seat. Dear sister, be there with a happy spirit. Because you know, a sister of the fellowship of God, he's at the left hand of the whole, of the whole, and the whole assembly. A Christian, a worldly Christian, coming into the assembly, in the assembly, unconsecrated to the things of God, and hope has the full blanket hope. But a godly sister walking in, one that has a reputation before God and before the Christian. Now there's a sister, godly. There's one whose whole life and ambition is for God. They don't make much fuss over it, but there they are. And why would you come in this one? So I had learned that I might have mentioned this in another conference. One night I was weary. We have a lot of sermons to see. I had a Tuesday night in Charlottetown, Wednesday night in Cramble, Thursday night in Freetown, many more up west, a few more up there. This Thursday night, I was weary. I went to the meeting in Freetown, and I sat there. By and by, if you don't have that problem here, ever had those long calls in like you had the other morning when there was no picture and you on the platform? Remember that? Those calls when you wanted to get up. By my dear friend's daughter broke in and get up. And he began to give God thanks for his son. And I felt my soul warm and the tears came to my eyes. It dawned upon me. That man is edifying. He's building me up. And I went away from their cheers. That brother didn't know a thing about it. But because of his prayer, I was lifted up and built up. And I thank God for it. And that's what assembly life is all about. That's why the priesthood of all believers is such a precious truth and can only be practiced where Christians are on scriptural ground. Because it's not the preacher that gets up and can go over a whole long list. Thank God for those who can in his prayer. You can sit down and you have to move anybody. But dear young brother, as a priest in God's assembly, you can get up in five words. You can bring the tears to the Christian's eyes. What are you doing? To edify the people of God. Can't do it unless you're a consecrated Christian. And so this is just a little word that was burning in my soul. As I say, I followed this work from the very beginning, back in the 40s. Remember in the old barn down there? And when Robert walked in, this little boy, on his father's chair, his father said, you know, home up. No, I'm so sorry for him. Riding the old truck and everything. You didn't know the history of it. I was brother to tell you. I was with him last winter and I got all screwed up with making a picture. And getting some of you good as a pen or good editors, why don't you get more of these words? And I'll confess my sin to your publisher. He wrote me a letter asking me to give some little information. I believe that the work of dear Mr. McElwain shouldn't be let die because there's a generation coming up that doesn't know how this fall and this work in Clementsdale all started and what they went through. The opposition. Now that opposition is all quietened down. And dear Mr. Our brother Gordon Williams, there's another dear man with a picking shovel and a hammer at his hand. A number of years ago, there was The men went down into a place called Field Hole. There was a dear old sister there. She was crippled. She was saved, sitting in a boat went around maybe. And she used to throw the water bottle into the water. She lived right on the ocean. And she used to throw the bottles out with notes and tracks in them out into the Atlantic. I'm going to make her pickles one year. She thought, I can do without the pickles, but I'm going to use the bottles. And she's throwing them out, cast that bread upon the water. And so she threw them out. There's a couple of brethren went down there and thought they would help with the work. And to the shade of the religious world, the Salvation Army captain led his congregation along with the rough necks of the town. Drive them out of the town. They slashed the preacher's tire, and they actually drove them out. Dear Mrs. Douglas, I think that he is. They were left alone, caught in communication with the family. Years gone by. Those Christians lived for God. They saw very few praying Christians. Uncle Mr. Williams moved here from down the Midwest, and he has made quite a bit of attention. But anyway, this is where that point of one. They went to build a hall this spring. They have been in an old portable for quite a few years. There's around maybe a dozen now in the assembly there. So they had in the four, and four of the brethren went to work. Mix the cement. Before the evening table, 20 of the neighbors there that stumbled, stumbling the cement. Those were consecrated Christians, and the people around knew about it. And that work, there it is. It won the confidence of the people. Oh, dear child of God, I want to tell you. A consecrated Christian with her hands filled for God will stir the community around about them and bring up. As I say, stirred my soul as I sat here this afternoon. I want to go back long ago. I didn't hear you. You know, two brothers sitting here. I know. It stirred them up. There was 5 minutes went by sometimes in the Western School of this level. So I said, I'm going to see that get a little word in about God's assembly. Because I'm 100% sold on the fact that there's nothing else but more, only God's assembly. And to be a consecrated Christian, you can put every effort that your hands can muster. And God calls you to a wider circle, thank God. Sure. Your daddy didn't meet this bitten eyes of clothes. And I'm glad he didn't leave this little fella here pushing wires. I think that's what his work was. He was pushing. We're glad for this. We're glad he didn't leave. He didn't want to leave there in the office. We thank God for this. And different one. Jeff Taylor in the county here. He could go over the whole list for him, anybody. Murray County. I'm only saying those things to show you that God does call people. But he doesn't call everybody to leave and go out as a missionary or as a preacher. But he calls every Christian to put everything they have into that which belongs to God. That which belongs to God today is the house of God. The pillar and crown of the truth. God's assembly. Take it or leave it, that's what I believe.